Hi, this is John Bartlett, co-host of the Shofar Ministries Hour, and I want to tell you about Mullet Masonry. Working with either brick, block, or stone, their work is impeccable, earning them a great reputation. They service residential, like chimneys and restorations, as well as the bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but will service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced, they do great work, they're affordable, and they're very nice as well. Need a free estimate? Call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep Shofar Ministries on the air. So be sure to tell Chad you heard about him right here on WHKW Christian Radio. Shabbat Shalom and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web at WHKWradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. You can re-listen to this show later this week on ShofarMinistries.net and take some notes because every program has good insights that you will want to remember for your knowledge enhancement. That God expects of his body to pursue with diligence for total sanctification of spirit, soul, and even the flesh. And that is only achieved through time spent in God's word. And in short, let's just say, let's all grow up, okay? Let's open today's lesson with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity again to bring your word and the deeper truths of your word to our radio audience. And we just want to lift up those to you that have sent in requests this week. And please answer each and every request, prayer request, according to your grace. Father, also we also pray for your will to be done in this week and in the weeks to come, as we will be discussing later in the show some of the heavy things that are coming upon our nation and our country. And we just ask, Lord, that it's all in your will. And we ask that you give us a spirit of rejoicing and not a spirit of fear as we go through these tough times that we believe are coming our way for our country. And in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, we ask you this and we bless you and praise you this wonderful Shabbat morning. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, John, because that's certainly true. This weekend is historical, I'm thinking.
Yes, I think so, too.
And Shabbat Shalom to you, by the way.
Thank you.
And Baruch Atah Hashem Adonai, blessed be the name of the Lord. And we're going to continue from last week's show on the fulfilled spring appointments of the Lord, which are three.
They are three appointments, right?
Yeah. What are they, John?
They are, we have Passover, and we have the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits.
You are right.
I should be.
And they begin the end of this month, don't they?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. But first, a reminder of our calendar webpage, shofarministries.net, where events are posted. And you can also ask your biblical questions there by emailing to Sheila at Shofar Ministries. That's S-H-E-I-L-A for Sheila, okay? Remember that, Sheila at shofarministries.net. Or you may call Sheila as well, leave a detailed message, and she'll be sure to get back to you. And Sheila will be in Mentor on Thursday at 7 p.m. at Lakeshore Assembly of God, and that is 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard.
Yes, and by the way, please come on out and join us. We do have an open forum there. I answer questions, and quite informative, and we're going to have a lot to say after this weekend.
I'll bet you will, and I bet you'll have a lot of questions, too. And we'll be opening up the phone lines, speaking of questions, later in the hour with your questions or comments about today's program, or really any end-time question you might have. And now I know you have an answer for this, but do we have any important news this week? And I already know the answer.
Oh, you mean the probable demise of America?
Yes.
With the White House using corrupt Chicago-style tactics?
Oh, my goodness.
You know, let's, you know, people ask me this all the time, is the United States in prophecy? Let's go to a scripture to answer that question. You know, let's do that, John.
Okay.
And let's turn to Jeremiah 30, verse 11. And we know this is talking about the end days because in verse 7 it says, for that day is great so that none is like it. And remember a couple weeks ago, John, when we talked about what that means whenever we see in that day or that day,
mm-hmm.
it means the future, doesn't it?
That's right.
It means starting out with tribulation, ending up with millennial kingdom. But up ahead a little bit more in Jeremiah 30, verse 11, Lord is speaking through Jeremiah and he says to Israel, for I am with you, says the Lord, to save you. Right there, you know, you don't have to worry about Israel. God will take care of it.
That's right.
You know? But then he goes on to say, though I make a full end of all the nations where I have scattered you. Right now, America has about as many Jews as they do in Israel.
And it wasn't always so.
No. In fact, we had more.
We had more than Israel, but now tables
and
are turning a little bit.
People are leaving, yes, that's true. But I think it's interesting because God says, you know, I will make a full end. Done. And I believe that's the United States.
My version says, I will finish off all the nations.
Sure.
Ooh.
And you know, how does that begin? By losing its economy, going into global governance and that. And we're seeing that happen.
Yes, we are.
Oh, my gosh. And it's happening so fast. But it goes on to say, and this is encouraging, because he tells Israel, yet I will not make a complete end of you. So, see, no matter what happens, God's going to take care of them.
That's right.
But he says, I will correct you.
But only as you deserve.
That's right, because you're not going to go altogether unpunished. And they have been through a lot through the years, haven't they?
Absolutely.
And it all stems back from idol worship.
And it raises the question, too, that God has let Israel suffer the consequences of its mistakes. How much more the nations now? You know, we've been given a lot here in America.
Oh.
And
more than we deserve.
And we have, time and time again, and I think it's because of the godly people praying for this nation that our judgment has been put off and put off and put off.
And also because we've been allies with Israel.
And that's probably the main reason right there.
Genesis 12:3 says, I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you.
Now, even that may be in jeopardy, as you'll find
out.
Big
time.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that, too, what's happening with the quartet in Israel. But, yeah, you know, people ask me this, too. What do I do? What do I do? Well, first of all, you make sure that you spend time in God's Word so that you'll have discernment and you'll have wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then call your congressman. I mean, everybody should at least know who your congressman in your specific district is.
Yes.
And you can find it easily on the Internet, as I did on District 14 and La Tourette. And I called them, told them what I felt. But I also included the fact that we need to support Israel because that's important. If we want to continue to be blessed...
Yes.
But, again, I think we're living in the last days. God's Bible prophecies will be fulfilled. They have to be fulfilled. So I trust him, and that's how you pray today, that your will be done, Lord,
right,
whatever that is. But as far as if you live in Cleveland, you already know about Dennis Kucinich. She's already going to vote along with Obamacare.
Well, he got a nice airplane ride, wouldn't you?
He got an airplane ride. He sure did. But again, it's the Chicago-style tactics, and I don't want to spend the whole show on this because there's plenty of other shows that are much more qualified in that area than we are. I try to stick to the Bible because not a lot of people get to hear the things that we're going to teach.
That's right.
So I encourage you to listen to those other shows and stay informed at least, and also to stay healthy. You know, if this Obamacare gets passed, it's probably going to be some rationing down the road. And really, as Christians, we need to stay healthy. Get off that sugar. Get off the white flour. Eat more vegetables and make positive changes to your life.
And go get that juicer.
And get a juicer. Oh, my gosh. That's right.
Now let's talk about some exciting news that has happened this week.
Well, again, this is just news that falls in with everything else that's happening in the world. But very exciting to add to the fact that what we talked about last week, remember about the temples being built to scale down in Jericho?
Or outside of Jericho, yes.
Right, that will be able to be moved to the Temple Mount at the proper time.
Yes.
Okay, we talked about that. That's exciting enough. But last week I found out that they're actually going to have a Passover sacrifice on an altar that's already been built.
And that is the altar, folks.
That would probably be moved to the Temple Mount.
It was built for the training of the Levites,
mm-hmm.
Who are already in place,
yes.
And already being trained. And this is going to be sort of like the first run. And
mm-hmm.
not only is it practice, but it's for real.
I know.
So we're going to see the sacrifice starting that we all, nobody has seen for
since
how many
temple,
years?
Since the temple was destroyed in 70 A.D.
Okay. So
that is incredible.
That's incredible.
People, are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Get excited. You know, even with everything that's happening, the bad stuff, you can be excited to know that fulfillment of prophecy is coming to an end, because pretty soon he's going to be here.
Ooh.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Okay, but let's talk a little bit about Israel, too.
Okay.
Because since taking office, did you know that our president has actually refused to approve any major Israeli requests for U.S. weapons platforms or advanced systems?
See, I did not know that.
I know most people don't, because they don't advertise that too much or talk about it. But this is really an embargo on Israel.
Hmm.
The administration, including Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, had already warned that Washington would definitely do this to Israel. So she warned them, and they're not giving them hardly any aid. They reduced it significantly.
Because it's
construction policy. They don't want a building.
They don't want a building where?
In Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem. And the Bible says the Lord is the builder of Jerusalem. So
yes.
Who are they really going up against here?
God.
And who's going to win?
God.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But Israeli Ambassador to the United States, Michael Oren, says that this is a huge crisis indeed, what's going on between the United States and Israel. And remember Genesis 12:3 that says...
Genesis 12:3, God has blessed their country?
I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And... We're going to be cursed. In fact, we are.
Well,
it's already begun.
It's already begun.
Okay, I mean,
mm-hmm.
we have told God that we don't want him to have anything to do with us. You
mm-hmm.
know, taking prayer out of the schools, you know, taking God off, Ten Commandments out, and God off the money, and on all this stuff. So we're saying, get away from us. We don't want you. So he's saying, okay. You know?
Yeah. That's sad, but that's...
It's sad, it is, but if it's... got to happen in order for Jesus to return, then it's sort of like John eating that scroll, remember, that was sweet and then turned bitter.
In the book of Revelation? Yeah.
It's the same thing.
It is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bittersweet.
It is bittersweet.
You know, I want him to come back with all my heart and soul. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for him to return. Okay, but at the same point, you know, if we have more time to tell more people about him, then that's better too. And to see America actually going down the tubes is sad.
Yeah.
It's definitely
I think
sad.
I want to throw this into real quick. In Israel right now, I think what they're having is temple fever, because they have distributed models of they've made available at a very low cost these excellent models of the temple and the temple complex, actually, to anybody that wants one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're starting to see now that they've been in the land long enough, and they realize, like Ezra realized, that hey, God needs his house built.
Mm-hmm.
And this is happening right before our eyes. It's fulfillment of prophecy.
Right. Having the sacrifices.
Having the sacrifice. Now, you know, it's just, this is all a fulfillment of something that people have, this world has not seen for nearly 2,000 years.
Right.
And it's all coming into focus right here for us to see. And it's, I believe it's a wake up call.
Not only that, it's not foreign to the Jews to have their sacrifice before the temple was made.
Right.
If you look back into Ezra,
mm-hmm.
In fact, let's read that. Let's look at Ezra 3:6. When the Jews came back from Babylon, before the temple was even erected, they went ahead and had sacrifices.
And that's in Ezra 3,
3.
Verse 6,
yeah.
And I've got it right here.
Go ahead.
It says, from the first day of the seventh month, they began offering burnt offerings to Adonai, even though the foundation of Adonai's temple had not yet been laid.
That's right.
So that's the first thing.
That's right.
That's the
Amen.
First thing.
So there's a lot to say that, because the first day of the seventh month is Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I could see perhaps in the fall them moving that altar first On the Temple Mount.
Onto the Temple Mount.
And actually having
and they have every right to do
on
so.
On the Temple Mount on Rosh Hashanah.
Yes, they have every.
Because history repeats itself.
Yes, it does.
I can tell you how much I learned from history in the Bible, mm-hmm. because it does repeat. Different players, but it does repeat.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so basically, you know, we're turning our backs on the only democratic nation in the Middle East. And one, if you don't know the Bible very well, you could probably wonder, well, why does one such a tiny little nation be hated by so many people? And, of course, it's...
The root of that hatred is actually Satan himself.
That's right.
Yes.
The amount of land that the Israelis own relative to the surrounding countries is comparable to a matchbook in the middle of a football field.
Pretty much so.
I mean, it's just amazing to
talking
see
about
the focus
a country that's
nation.
The size of New Jersey, and New Jersey compared to the rest of the states or even the whole United States is similar to that. You know,
that's
New
right.
Jersey, you can drive across New Jersey in an hour.
I know. Well, Israel's only supposed to be like 9 miles at its
yes.
shortest point anyway.
Yeah.
So let's look at what's happening, too. Last week they had a meeting of the quartet, the Middle East quartet.
Ah, that's what you said, quartet, and I was thinking barbershop, but obviously you were thinking something else.
Who makes up the quartet, John? Do you know?
It is made up of the United States, the EU, the European Union, Russia, and the United Nations.
That's right. So we're involved in that.
Ooh,
and
that's not good.
The Secretary General of the United Nations... Just recently, his name is Ban Ki-moon,
mm-hmm.
told Israel to stop all kinds of building in Jerusalem, and Israel must do this now because it is undermining the peace process in the Middle East.
Okay. Woo. Now, remember, we just said, who's building Jerusalem?
I know, God.
So who's he telling to stop?
God.
Might not work out well.
Nah. Israel recently announced, as you know, the building of like 1,600 new housing units in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And the world leaders, they reacted so harshly. They got so mad, especially this quartet, and we're part of that, to the Israeli government. And the quartet wants talks immediately with the Palestinian state within the next 2 years. And, you know, I'm sorry to tell you, but Palestinians really aren't capable of governing themselves.
Is this fair, Sheila? Can you imagine if you were a resident of Washington, D.C., and you were trying to move out of your housing development and get into these new apartments,
mm-hmm.
and then the whole world got together and said, you can't build those apartments.
Yeah. It's absurd.
And
so they go on and say, stop all settlement construction right now to Israel, including all natural growth. And then it goes on and says, dismantle all the buildings that you've erected since the year 2001. Dismantle them.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you're hindering peace agreements in the Middle East. And so it's pressuring Israel to make these concessions that could lead to an end of a Jewish state. Wasn't it not for God? Because we know that God mm-hmm. says he wants them to be dependent upon him. So it says all nations will come against Israel.
That's right.
Why? Because God wants to show his glory.
And he
so
will not
this
be.
This is scriptural.
Right. And God will not be. Our God is fair, and he will not punish beyond what is necessary, or he will not judge beyond what is necessary. But I'll tell you what, Sheila, if the world and the countries that are together on this telling them to dismantle mm-hmm. these homes in their capital city, those countries will face a similar situation in their homes
Absolutely.
Or in their capitals. And
Absolutely.
I think we can look at that right
now. And the
now.
Prophets, Ezekiel, Joel, Amos, they're all talking about how when that division comes, that's the catalyst that will bring the judgment. We
yeah.
are that close.
Yeah, we are that close. Well, already you can see the United States, the real estate market in this country is,
know.
you know.
God's taking his hand off. The
yes.
blessings are stopping.
Yes.
And I recall in Luke 21:24, the words of a profound prophet named Jesus Christ, to the Jewish people, again, some 2,000 years ago during his Olivet discourse, when he told those attending that the city of Jerusalem would be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And the times of the Gentiles are the times in history when Gentile world leaders dictate what the Jews do in Jerusalem. And this time is no different. It surely qualifies for this prophetic statement, and it will be downtrodden by the Gentiles until Jesus returns.
And
And what?
And what happens after the times of the Gentiles? What's the immediate?
Oh, then the millennial kingdom, of course.
Oh, but what before that, what happened?
The tribulation.
And before that?
John, you talk.
The rapture.
Oh, okay. Yes, absolutely.
So it's time to do your rapture exercises and get some air underneath your feet, because you might want to get used to that.
Amen to that.
Amen.
Well, last time we, I think we should get on with it, huh? Because we're running out of time for this first half hour. But before we take a break in the middle,
okay,
I just want to remind people what we did last time, all and right. It's a continuation of that. We actually talked about the spring appointments of God. Actually, all of them we did an overview of. And then we began with the spring feast of Passover. But we also talked about the two calendars and how important it was to understand that there's a civil calendar and a biblical calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't hear the show last week, they can hear it.
Yeah, be sure to listen to last week's program.
How?
How you can get on shofarministries.net and go to the archived podcasts.
That's it.
And that's as simple as that.
It's all right there.
Yes.
And then we began to, we started talking about picking the lamb on Palm Sunday, which was Nisan 10,
mm-hmm.
4 days before the actual Passover. And we talked about that and how they examined the lamb for 4 days to make sure that it had no blemish.
Right.
It had to be a perfect lamb. And then we saw how Jesus was also a picture of that lamb because he was examined for 4 days. In the temple.
In the temple.
He was and questioned then, elaborately.
Yes. And then Pilate announced, I find no blemish in him.
That's right.
So is that not a picture?
It sure is. And then we also mentioned, too, that when they picked the lamb for the temple, that they had a parade.
Yes.
And that it was that parade that Jesus, on Palm Sunday, was following. And the people continued to hail him as king. And
yes.
Not everyone, but certainly some. And it was the only day that he allowed them to hail him as king.
Jesus was very, very popular with
some.
With the, I would say, the masses. Not the religious elite, but the people, the regular people.
Maybe so.
Oh, well, he was.
Okay.
He was.
So when we come back, we're going to talk about Passover and unleavened bread a little bit more and explain what it means when it says in the Bible that they killed the lamb between the evenings.
Between the evenings.
What do you think that might mean, John?
Well, I hope we find out, because that's right now the lines are open. When we come back, if you have a question, particularly on the subject of this show or end times in general, make sure it's end times, please. The phone number is 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. And since we cover such a big area on the radio, we would both like to visit you at your church for an evening of Messianic worship and a timely message. So ask your pastor and ask him to give us a call at 440-834-9006. And I'd also like to add that Shofar Ministries is a non-denominational 501c3, so all your gifts are tax-deductible. And donations are really needed to stay on the air. So really, folks, if you like this forum with solid Bible teaching, please send your donations to P.O. Box 513 in Burton, Ohio, 44021. Or you can just give through the ShofarMinistries.net website and use PayPal. And we don't ask much. We'd ask this maybe once a week, but, PBS, public radio asks a lot more. But we do
need your help to stay on the air. There's just no doubt about it. And I'll stay on as long as I can. But we were on about 7 years ago about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then sponsors we lost, and so we had to go off. So if you know anyone that might even just want to do a very affordable commercial ad on the radio for their business.
Yes.
Just let me know. Call me at 440-834-9006.
Amen. And once again, now, those numbers for your questions about today's show or end-time questions are, the first one I'll give you is 216-901-0933, or you can simply dial 888-677-WORD, W-O-R-D, that's 9673. So stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. And we promise we'll be right back after a short break and a great song called operator,
by
Laura Fedor and Sheila Crawford, I guess.
No.
Right? Stay with us now. We have some very important things to say in the second half. Okay. Shalom, radio listeners. Are you looking for another career? Could the Lord be leading you into a new field in a happy and safe environment with people who really appreciate and are thankful for what you do? Well, if you are pleasant and like children and newborns, Alexandria's Training School is looking for people of all ages to be certified in this in-demand child care industry. Call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. Or, if you need nanny care for your precious little ones, the number's the same, 440-781-7531. And tell Carolyn you heard about this opportunity on WHKWRadio.com.
Okay, so let me ask you, how many times have you ever been asked if you knew a good Christian attorney? Well, now you have an answer. A legal representative for over 35 years, Dennis Kasalek of Chardon, Ohio, has a great reputation for honesty and integrity and is now a sponsor of the Shofar Ministries Hour. So if you still need to get that will, need financial counseling, or any legal matter, give Dennis a call at 440-285-3511. That's 440-285-3511.
Now, a year later, I got to ask those supporters, how's that hopey-changey stuff working out for you?
On April 22nd, News Talk 1420 host Michael Medved and Hugh Hewitt will be in town to discuss the Obama administration, the economy, Congress, healthcare, and the war on terror as part of the America Unplugged Tour. Tickets are just $15 per person for general admission. This event will be an evening where you'll hear Medved and Hewitt live, in person, without commercial interruption, giving their opinions on the issues and taking your questions. This one-night event will be at the luxurious Lander Haven in Mayfield Heights. Visit WHKRadio.com and click on the America Unplugged image to purchase tickets or call 877-840-0457. That's 877-840-0457. For details, visit WHKRadio.com. That's WHKRadio.com.
This is Jada Gospel Kid. I invite you to be a part of the Holy Ghost Tsunami, the 2010 Quartet Super Bowl Showcase. Yes, if you have a group, choir, ensemble, or soloist, and you want to win $1,000, you need to call 216-440-1374 or visit gospelkid.com. Gospel Kid with two D's.com. You need to be there. I'm going to be there. Don't forget, 216-440-1374.
If detoxing's on your list of New Year's resolutions, try the easier Nature B alternative. Take Nature B and Triple Action Res V. Keep your resolutions on track. 6 months supply of Nature B, still just $99 plus delivery. For another $15, you get two bottles of Triple Action Res V worth $90. Clean out your pipes, fill up your tank, and run like a well-oiled machine. Toll free, 1-866-834-8355. That's 866-834-8355 or online, naturebee.com.
Operator, give me information. Information, give me long distance. Long distance.
Yeah, welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That was a great song, wasn't it? By Laura Fedor.
Sure is.
And that was called Operator. And I just want to remind you, too, that Sheila's going to be in Mentor.
I am.
Which is kind of close to where Laura lives, I believe.
Yeah.
On Thursday, and that's at 7 p.m., Lakeshore Assembly of God. That's 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard. Put that in your GPS and make sure you're out there. That's this Thursday, isn't
it? Yeah, come on out. Tell me that you heard me on the radio. I'd like to know who lives.
And she'll be fielding those questions for you, too.
And we're going to have a lot to talk about.
Okay, yeah. I'm sure you will.
Oh, my. Okay, well, we got to get back to the spring feast.
Yes.
Okay. We only have 1 week left. Next
That's right.
Week
is coming up next week.
Isn't that the last one, or do we have one more before?
Oh, I got to look up a calendar,
I don't know.
Actually,
but anyway.
But you better start looking for that leaven and behind your stove and your refrigerator if you're doing that.
Really. But you know what? First thing I want to mention, too. In the Bible, it always tells us, at least unless you're reading the New Translations and have a lot of good footnotes, that says that the lamb should be sacrificed or killed twixt the evening.
Twixt the evening. That's a quaint phrase, isn't it?
Yeah, and it can really throw you off because when I first started studying the Bible, I thought, okay, it must be in the night.
How about my Bible that says at dusk?
Now, see, and that's wrong, too.
And that's wrong, too, isn't it?
Yes. So I thought I'd give a quick overview on exactly what the what that means. Yeah. And how you do that is by dividing the 24 hours into two, first of all. Okay. And you get 6 p.m. because the days start in the evening, don't they, John?
Yes. Biblical days start in the evening.
That's
that
right.
goes back
the
to
day changes
Genesis.
In the evening. We'll say sundown, and just to be logical, we'll say 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. So you divide 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., and then 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. again, and you have 12 hours and 12 hours.
Okay.
All right.
I'm with you.
Okay. The 6 p.m. to the 6 a.m. is actually called the night. Wow, that's hard, huh?
That's heavy, isn't it?
That's right. Now, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. is called the day.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Easy, too.
Yes.
Now, but when we get more specific, they separate the day hours or the daytime from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. into two.
Okay.
So then what they do is they say from 6 a.m. to noon, you have the morning part of the day from when the sun begins to rise to its fullest at noon is the morning part of the day.
Okay.
Then from noon until 6 p.m. when the sun begins to set, you have the evening part of the day. And that's what throws people off.
Okay.
Because unless you know some Hebraic roots, which is why I always say it's good to know a little bit, even if it's just a little, you realize that the evening part of the day is between noon and 6 p.m. So if you have twixt the evening, you have in the middle of the evening of the day, which comes to?
Should be 3 p.m. by my
Absolutely.
Reckoning.
Now, just a little more information is in the nighttime, they don't have hours. They actually divided it up into watches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and if you read the Old Testament, it was three watches. Okay, it would be the first, second, and third.
First, second, and third watch.
And then in the New Testament, they actually changed it to four because they felt they wanted to be a little more specific, so they had first, second, third, and fourth.
I think the watchers were complaining that the shifts were too long, maybe.
Yeah, that's it.
There you go.
All right, but once 6 o'clock came in the morning and the sun began to rise, they actually did go to hours, and they had those sundials and stuff like that,
sure.
You know. So then 6 a.m. would be the first hour, and then it would go all the way through until 6 p.m., which would have been the 12th hour.
Okay.
So at the ninth hour of the day would be what time?
Well, that would be by this, if you go by this, 3 p.m.?
It would be twixt
the night. It wouldn't be 9 o'clock. It would be 3 p.m. That's the ninth hour.
The third hour would have been 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And that's when they actually put him on the cross.
Okay.
And he hung there for how many hours?
6 hours.
6 hours.
6 hours. Now, it does say in the third, doesn't that say in one of the Gospels that was the hour that he was put on the cross was in the third hour?
Yes, it does. One of the Gospels does say
okay.
that.
Okay. So now
we know.
But
he was on there for 6 hours, and of course we know
from
the
nine
seventh
to three.
Hour that he was taken down.
What happened at three?
And his side would be pierced.
Okay.
At the same time that the lamb was slain in the temple.
Okay.
The exact same hour.
Yes. And what I have learned is that there was a morning, which would have been the 9 o'clock, and a 3 o'clock lamb sacrifice in the temple every day, 7 days a week.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting because I guess they had a lot of sins to take care of.
Well, yeah, it's called the perpetual sacrifice. They would do that.
Right. But only once a year on Passover was for the whole temple and the priests and things like that.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's interesting, though, that Jesus actually was not only hung on the cross, but his side was pierced at the same time that the lamb was over in the other side.
Yes.
So that's pretty amazing.
It is. And that's God's timing, and we discussed that on the last show.
Yeah, on the last show we discussed how he was even picked the same time that the lamb was picked and examined. And
that's why there's two words used for the feast. There's the appointment and there's the rehearsal. But the appointment is the important word to remember here,
right,
because this is an appointment. God does things on a timetable and has made appointments for them to happen.
That's right. And that's why I forgot what I was going
to
say.
Oh, that's okay. You're allowed to do that. It'll come back to you, hopefully while we're still on the air.
Yeah, really. Well, I think I was going to say that's why that we need to understand our Hebraic roots a little bit so we can see how he fulfilled everything.
Right.
And what I was going to say, and I just remembered now.
See?
I got to stop
that
before I forget again.
Didn't I tell you?
God told the Israelites that they all had to be there in Jerusalem for the feast.
That's right.
And that was
they were
one
commanded
of the reasons
to be there.
Yeah.
Why? Because
they would see these fulfillments.
Because you're going to see your Messiah there.
Yeah.
Someday.
So,
mm-hmm.
Jesus fulfilled Passover by his own death on the cross. Mm-hmm. His side was pierced at exactly 3 o'clock. And then we're going to see that he was taken down and put into the tomb at sundown, which would have now been the next day,
mm-hmm.
which is Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Right.
Okay. But before that, I want to talk about the first Passover in Egypt and how it all began historically.
Yes.
Okay. On the first Passover in Egypt, now that would have been the date on the biblical calendar, Nisan 14. Okay, remember they picked the lamb on the 10th,
mm-hmm.
and this would be on the 14th. And you can read about this, by the way, in Exodus 12.
Yes.
So between the evenings, the father was to take the lamb outside, and the whole family would lay their hands on the lamb to declare the offering. The father would cut the throat and catch the blood in a basin called a sop. Now, this would be a kosher way of killing the lamb. He
mm-hmm.
did not suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in case there's, you know, PETA out there, just know that the sacrifice that's going to be done in Israel for Passover is done in a kosher manner.
Yes.
Okay, no suffering.
It is humane.
Yes. The father would take hyssop, and I don't exactly know that I have ever seen that. I think it probably only grows in Israel, but it's similar to a sponge in quality.
Mm-hmm.
And the father would dip in the blood that's in the basin and forcefully sprinkle to the lintel, which would be the wood across the top of the door, and the two doorposts, one on each side. And then he would place the basin at the bottom of the door so to completely outline the door in blood.
Wow.
So the whole thing. Now, after sundown, they would eat the dinner. And now, again, the sundown starts the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be the Feast of Unleavened Bread now. And they would have the dinner with bitter herbs and unleavened bread. Now, it's important to mention that the first Seder plate would just be the meat, the unleavened bread, and bitter herbs.
Yes.
Okay. Now
there's
today
going to be no
more
egg on this Seder plate.
That's right. And remember that leaven is always a picture of sin in the Bible.
Right.
And it's important to know. And, of course, we know that Jesus is the unleavened bread because he was sinless.
Okay? Leaven is what?
Always sin.
No, I mean, but real leaven is yeast. Don't we call it yeast now?
Yes, thank you.
In the Bible, it's called leaven. Right.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Yes.
But they had to eat it in a hurry, for mm-hmm. they would leave soon. And even that is a picture. They had to leave soon because spiritually, when we apply the blood of Jesus to our hearts,
mm-hmm.
we accept his sacrifice, we know that he took our sins and buried them forever.
Mm-hmm.
But then we're supposed to leave the world right away. We don't linger in the world. Because if we do, it could pull us back into the world.
Yes, it will.
You know? Mm-hmm. And that's a great picture of having to leave soon.
Get out of there.
Get out of there. You betcha. Now, still in Exodus 12, around verse 12, God says, I will pass through the land, and strike all the firstborn that doesn't have the blood on their doorposts, both man and animal, as a judgment against all the gods that they worshipped in Egypt.
Yes.
Okay? So, we know that happened.
And also, as I'm sure, as a judgment for the Pharaoh making that decree that the firstborn males of the Hebrew slaves were to be killed. I believe he had something like that going. That's why they hid Moses, so that wouldn't happen to him.
You mean a long time before that?
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, God says, I'll pass through the land and strike all the firstborn without the blood. Okay, so even if you were not an Israeli or a Hebrew, as long as that blood was on the door, you would be protected.
Now, that's a big picture.
That's a big picture, John. You want to say what it is?
Well, it's a big picture. That means that anybody.
Anybody.
That and whosoever calls on the name of the Lord. And that includes us. You
that's
and,
right.
You and I and everyone that's listening.
The goyim.
Yeah, the goyim. That's us. And we have an invitation here.
Yeah. And don't forget that the death of the firstborn now was the end of a lot of plagues, you know. And you'd think by now he would have learned.
Yes.
But he didn't. So. Sure enough, his own son had to die. And then he finally gives them permission to go. But here's something that most don't remember. Back in Exodus 3:18 and Exodus 5:3, when they requested to leave the Hebrews, they only wanted to go for 3 days to worship in the wilderness away from the gods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all. They only asked for 3 days. So that's pretty interesting. And he wouldn't even let them do that.
Yes.
You know. But finally he says, okay, but because of the famine way, you know, in the beginning there during Joseph's time, the Hebrews were willing to be owned by Pharaoh. And if you want to read about that, it's in Genesis 47:19-26. They said, you know, we'll work for you and you can own us. Just give us some food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they were owned by Pharaoh. And the reason I'm mentioning that is because with Pharaoh's death, the ownership of them would cease, therefore freeing them to go on to Canaan, which they did.
Ah, I see.
But just with Pharaoh dying, if they had been actually belonged to Egypt, they would have had to go back to Egypt legally. Yeah.
Legally speaking, yeah.
Legally speaking.
So they had the legal right now.
Yeah, so God had to make sure that Pharaoh died.
Okay.
And he did in the Red Sea because he went along with his army.
Yes, he did.
And died there. So, just to recap here, they left Egypt on the morning of the 15th, okay, after their blood was on the doorpost the night before, on the 14th. Then they camped at Sukkot to retrieve the bones of Joseph. You can read about that and how his bones were in Sukkot in Genesis 50. Then on the 16th, they camped at Etham. And then the next morning, still the 16th, they journeyed to Pi-Hahiroth, reaching the Reed Sea the evening of the 17th.
Okay.
Exodus 14:9. So the Hebrews, of course, crossed through the parted sea through most of the night when the Egyptians also followed them, where God destroyed them all as he let the waters fall back into the sea.
So, and of course, Nisan 17th would be the Feast of First Fruits, correct?
That's correct. That's correct. And that is a picture of the Hebrews gaining new life.
New life. Okay.
By being able to get out of Egypt, okay, where all the bad stuff was going on, and get into, or at least on their way, to the land of Canaan. And what's interesting then, of course, we see that Pharaoh and his army were destroyed because they followed him into the water and the water came back. And, of course, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior and put the blood on our hearts and accept his sacrifice and that our sins are forgiven, then the enemy really is destroyed in our lives.
That's
he
right.
really is. He cannot control us anymore. He cannot take our lives or do anything like that, where really the enemy can, with those that don't know Jesus Christ, he can make them commit suicide or get them drunk and have a car crash. You know, he's, you know.
How much of this that we just talked about do you have to know in order to get saved?
All you have to know is what Christ did for you, and that is accepting his death on the cross and accepting that he died for your sins.
For your sin.
Yeah.
And
but it's always good to know why he did it, what the purpose of God's plan is, why he started this whole plan and what happened to Adam and Eve. I mean, these are important things. Why? Because they're faith builders.
Yes.
You know, you need to have your faith built so that you have the power and the strength when the enemy does put thoughts in your mind, because he can still give you thoughts and tempt you. But you got to have the faith of the Bible to be able to stand up to that enemy who was destroyed for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now he can still give you thoughts.
Yes.
But he can't read your mind. He only knows if you're acting on his thoughts and by what you do. He watches you.
Maybe one of our listeners has never been born again. Maybe they have not given their heart to Jesus. And if that's the case, I got to tell you, the enemy there is trying to prevent you from making that decision by distractions and everything like that.
Oh, absolutely. That's his goal.
That's his goal.
You know, to get to people before they find Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And then even afterwards to make you fall.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's... You know, but
it might look impossible.
Not control you, and I think that's
right.
Important.
Mm-hmm.
The more you're in the Word, the more you have that armor on, which only comes on by the Word, the more faith you have, which only comes through the Word,
mm-hmm.
Okay? You can learn how to fight and recognize the enemy's tactics.
Right. Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to mention real quick, and we got about 5 minutes, is... And again, this doesn't really matter exactly what day he died. However, I think it just comes along with understanding your Hebraic roots, if you understand that he really didn't die on a Friday.
Well, he couldn't have. Because to spend 3 days and three nights, he would have been out on Monday, I believe.
That's right. Yeah. And not only that, if you even go back further than that and see that Nisan 10 was Palm Sunday.
Okay.
Okay. So... if they examined him for 4 days, which they had to do for the lamb, we've already talked about that.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That gets you to Wednesday, doesn't it?
That's the 14th in the evening.
Okay.
When he had the Last Supper with his apostles.
Okay.
Okay. And then he went to Gethsemane and cried all night long and all that kind of stuff. But then they actually killed him. They grabbed him at 9 o'clock in the morning, put him on the cross.
On a Thursday.
And that was Thursday.
That would be a Thursday. It'd have to be.
Yes.
And then you count your, there you have your 3 days and three nights.
And you have your 3 days and three nights. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday found the tomb empty on Sunday. But again, does it really matter?
No.
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 So why do they have the tradition of Friday? Do you remember that, John, in John 19?
Why the tradition of Friday? Which tradition are we talking about now?
Well, they believe that he, you know, died on a Friday and they have Good Friday.
Oh, and that's when you have to eat the fish?
Yes.
Well, I like fish. Well, not really, but I like
but it,
fried
you
fish.
Know, we were referring to the Catholics, how I was raised, but it's mainline Protestantism, too.
And this comes from the book of John. This comes
John
from the Gospel.
John 19, and I'm just going to read something. I only got 2 minutes, so I'm going to go fast, okay?
Go fast.
Verse 31 of John 19 says, "Therefore, because it was the preparation day that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day." Now, that's the whole clue right there.
Oh, well, the high Sabbath, that's the...
It could have been any holy day.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
But they assume that it's Saturday, even though it says it was a high day, which would have been the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Yes.
Okay. So they had to take him off before that.
I see.
Very simple stuff here. It's just a little bit of Hebraic roots, a little bit of knowledge, understanding, and you can get it.
And it's helpful, too, because there's so many detractors and enemies of the validity of the scriptures, and especially the New Testament, that it's good to know these things. And maybe you can't argue these points to somebody, but at least you'll know and you'll be secure in your trusting.
I would never argue because it's not necessary. The main thing is that he did it.
Yes.
He died. Our sins are taken to the grave, and he rose from the dead. And that's what we're going to cover next week, by the way, is his resurrection and all the little pictures that go along with that, and something pretty remarkable about acronyms.
Amen.
Okay.
Sounds good. Well, sorry
to
say we have to go, and before we go, I'd like to tell you that if you have a question for Sheila, okay, or if you'd like her to speak at your church or home group, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. And remember this, any and all your donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a partner in this endeavor. Use PayPal or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. All your donations, anyone that donates will automatically put you on our monthly newsletter, and it's full of gold nuggets and current events for these last days here and in Israel. Okay? And check out the webpage for the newsletters and previous radio shows on the podcast, okay?
That's right. And I want to give a special thanks to Lou Buckles, who, by the way, does our webpage. He's very fair priced and willing to help you with your own webpage. And just go to sunfishdesign.com.
Okay, here's a great shortcut for study for beginners on DVD, Hebraic Roots 101, Parts 1 and 2, and now the Spring Feasts, available on the webpage as well, shofarministries.net. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, are we ready to do our Aaronic blessing?
Yes, because it was given in Numbers 6:22-27. God told Moses how to tell Aaron to bless the people.
No, we're going to leave you go with this. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'ichunecha, yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Until next week, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. That's Psalm 122, verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper.
And that's not maybe, it's definitely shall. Just want to remind you, take a look at the webpage for all the different shows that we have on there. And if they're all labeled, and
get caught up on a time that's suitable for you.
And we'll see you next week.
Amen.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.